Colossians part 6. We're looking at chapter 3, which should be in your newsletter, if you've got a newsletter. And we'll get to that in a minute. Let's first pray. Thank you, Father, for revealing to us what it is to be a new creation in you. And we thank you that you have not left us to try and guess this, that you revealed this to your Apostle Paul, who wrote it down for this early church to know. And Lord, we thank you that we can know this also today. We pray your Spirit will help us to learn and to understand what it is truly to be in Christ. We pray this through Christ, our Saviour. Amen. Well, so far, we've looked at Colossians. We've looked at the gospel. We've looked at that within us, when we receive the gospel, there is a DNA that is God's DNA, and that DNA wants to grow in us. It wants to be fruitful. So that was sort of chapter one, and that Jesus is fully God, the creator of all things, and that his death is our death, as we looked at in communion. That we are, that where he was on the cross was our death. And Jesus represents us and substitutes us on his death on the cross. And now our new lives have been nailed to the cross, our old lives have been nailed to the cross. We've been made alive through his resurrection. We are now in him. Okay, so we looked at the example, and we talked about the example of being on a plane. And you need to get on the Jesus plane in order to get to the destination. Knowing about the plane, being inspired by the plane, won't get you to the destination. If we are in Christ, where he is where we will be also. Last week we looked at how Moses isn't flying the plane. Moses isn't the pilot. We're no longer under the shadows of the law with its feasts and Sabbaths. We are in Jesus. Jesus is the substance of all these things. Don't allow people to make judgments on these things that are shadows. Compared with the difference, we looked at the difference between being engaged and being married. And we also looked at the fact that we shouldn't feel less qualified by other people who puff themselves up with their spiritual experiences, who will tell you about things that are about angels and visions and things like that. No, we are in Christ. That's what really matters. Now that we are in Christ, our lives are in Christ, we can know that. We don't have to be tossed and turned around by all these different things that would take us away from being in Christ. Because we have received Christ, we are new people in him. So now we come up to chapter 3. Now we come up to chapter 3. If then, so think about all the previous things. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Jesus is, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On the account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you lived in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not a Greek and a Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, sectarian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. What an amazing passage. What an amazing passage of the new Christian life. I wonder what your version of the Christian life is like. Maybe your version is something like this. You receive Jesus by repenting of your sin, turning from your rebellious ways. You trust that you have your ticket to go to heaven in your back pocket because you got Jesus. In order that your life is to live as the good Christian, you try your best, maybe the bare minimum if possible, to obey a set of rules until Jesus returns. Is that your version of Christianity? Is that how you're currently living if you call yourself a Christian? This is not the kind of Christianity that Paul is teaching in Colossians. Jesus' death and resurrection has given us a complete new identity. We are now new people made alive in Jesus. This new life in Jesus is simply this. Your old life, your old self, has died on the cross. You're now being raised to a new life in Jesus, united in his resurrection. Therefore, everything about your life is now connected to being in Jesus. You have been given a complete new identity. So chapter 3, verses 1 to 17 highlights three things that change with our new life and our new identity in Jesus. Firstly, our mindset changes as we realize who we are. We're thinking differently. Our mindset is thinking differently. Secondly, our lives change as we kill off old ways. And thirdly, we grow by putting on new ways. And we're going to look at the putting on new ways next week. There's enough to cover already just in the first 2 points. So next week we're going to look at that, how to put on new ways. And I hope we're going to use the idea of a bit of a tug of war. So look out for that one. But identity is important. Okay, identity is important. You need to know your identity so you know who you are in Jesus. Knowing where you're located above in Jesus matters to your life. It's important. Don't miss this. Set your mind above. Because this is where you really are. You have been forgiven in Jesus fully. All your trespasses, as in things that go on against God's holiness, have been forgiven. This is massive. To know that you stand righteous before God is powerful. The power of being raised to new life changes who you are. This is one of the greatest events that's happened to you. You've been raised with Christ. You have been raised, verse 1, to new life in Jesus by God's love and by God's grace. Forgiven people before a holy God, forever in Jesus with full assurance of his promise. And it causes us to seek things above. That's what verse 1 says, seek above. To set our minds above is to seek Jesus because our new life is now hidden in him, verse 3. You no longer set your minds on things on earth. You have a mind change. We don't seek the things on earth knowing Jesus is the King. Okay, we live on the earth, but we seek to live our new life in him above. But it's even more than that when you think about it. It's what we invest our lives into, what we are putting our minds to, what we seek and love. Is Jesus simply... Is it Jesus or is it simply what we desire within us, in our old selves, what the Bible calls the flesh? Do we live for Jesus or do we just continue to live for the earthly things? This doesn't mean we lack interest in the earthly things, but what do we live for? We are now new people in Jesus who no longer seek to live to fill our minds with earthly stuff. Our hearts, our minds, our thinking, understanding is now focused and being informed by Jesus, who is reigning over all things. And I like the parable that Jesus said once in Matthew 13:45. He talked about the guy that had the pearl and how he traded all the other pearls. They were quite valuable to him, but he traded those because the parable represents Jesus being the great pearl. The thing that you would put other things aside for and know that this is the greatest things. And if you found Jesus, you realize that. Nothing compares to having Jesus, being in him. It's not just about thinking it. It's not just about ticking some theological box. It's about living it, living in Jesus. Jesus is concerned whether you can tick a few boxes, but the question is, are you in him? Jesus wants your new life to be in him. We turn our minds and desires to Jesus so that he is shaping us. The power is shaping us. We open God's word and we study it to know who Jesus is because we want to know him more. We have prayers that set our minds on Christ because we want to be more like Christ. Because we are in Christ, How could we think any different? But are you simply too busy to do these things? Are you too busy to... Do you prefer to set your mind on things less than Jesus, things of the here and now, the earthly things, that was old that you once lived for? You have to work, you have to eat, you have to buy stuff. We know all those things. It's not ruling out you can't enjoy life and live. Jesus enjoyed eating, drinking, fishing. But what's your mindset on? Are you really raised with Jesus, or are you still dead? Are you still simply your old self with some really good religious acts? Because your heart still seeks dead things. You love and live for dead things, not for Jesus. How sad if you were to miss this in your life. How sad if you thought that you had the ticket and you realized that you weren't really in Jesus. How sad is if we reduced the Christian life to a list of nice things. And we try to add things on. You know, like Paul Tripp says, we try and put the new fruit on the dead tree. And it looks impressive for a while. Paul's saying, you belong to him. You love him because his love is overwhelming, because he loves you. You live in love in him who loves you. We looked at that on Wednesday night. Christ's love compels us. It's irresistible. 2 Corinthians 5:14. Our new identity is in Christ, and his love compels us. We no longer live self-centered lives, but Christ-centered lives. No longer seek and live for our own glory, but his glory. Getting the mindset right matters. Getting it right. That's our first point. Getting the right mindset and thinking, now we are in Jesus, set our minds above, not on the here and now. And then we come on to the next bit, having the right actions. And Paul highlights two areas here. And the first one, when he says here, you have died to sin, your old self is dead, therefore you need a mind to you need your mind to think that way. Paul didn't sit there saying, feed your old way. He said, kill it. You need the right action by putting to death the old self. And that's the second point. Verses 5 to 11. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, which are these things, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On the account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you once walked, when you were living in them, but now you must put them away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is neither Greek, etc., etc. You know, all talking about every person. Sexual immorality, impurity, passions, which is lusts, evil desires, and covetousness, all seem to link together. Paul is sort of linking them all together. That these wrong sexual actions desire are the things that are outside what God's design of marriage is. Sexual passions, lust, they're all powerful things. Maybe that's why Paul starts here. Maybe he understands us pretty well. He knows the weaknesses of the old self. Paul tells us that now we're in Jesus, now we have our mind set above on Jesus, we are to put to death any wrong sexual thinking or actions that are outside God's design for marriage between a man and a woman. We are now a new person in Jesus. The old has been put to death on the cross. So we are to take our lives seriously and crucify these passions. Why? Because it's because of these things the wrath of God is coming. See, so you have left the way of life you once lived that stood under the wrath of God, which stood under God's judgment, and now Christ has delivered you into a new kingdom. So why would you be going back living a life under the life of wrath? Why would you be seeking that? Why would you be feeding it? Why would you be seeking desire to live that way? Can you see what Paul is saying? This would be ridiculous. And I understand we struggle with sin. I really do. But when we do this, we're going back to the place where God says, that's where my wrath existed. That's where who you were before my grace saved you. We once might have taken a low view of sex, Now we take a high view of sex as in God's good design. We take a high view of sex. We take a high view of marriage. We need to get our minds, see, we've got to get our minds right. We need to get our minds out of our pants and set them on Jesus. Kill everything that would spoil or distort God's plan for sex in your life. Put on the new you. And I know from experience myself, you know, sexual passions and lust, they just seem to stick around. But how often do you go looking for them? How often are you sold the lie? How often do you get your identity misplaced? Often we try to hide this shame. We seek to try and excuse it. But could it be that when you're stressed, when you're anxious, when you're tired, the first thing you seek are things on earth, things of the old self? Could it be that you set your mind on yourself? Things that Jesus calls you to put to death. Sexual things outside of marriage. Where is the new person? All these passions and desires are about yourself. You believe within yourself you deserve them or have needs for these sexual pleasures. So you feed yourself. You say you want them. You convince yourself that you can't live without them. And that's because you've set your minds on what is earthly, what's here and now. You're feeding your self-centered life that was once you, rather than feed yourself as a new person in Jesus. And we'll look at this next week by the putting on. The life of self-indulgence, the life of pleasure, is idolatry. You replace the loving God with loving ourselves and loving things that He created. And we abuse them. This is what Paul calls idolatry. That's why he links it all together. And then Paul moves on. In verses 8 to 10, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put on the old self with its practices, and you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in Christ. The death and resurrection of Jesus has the power to change the way we relate to one another. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk are no longer to have a place in the new life of the Christian. They've been put away. The very anger and wrath that we have escaped because of God's grace, we are to imitate in the sense of being graceful to others. We are to put away what God no longer holds against us. Malice, slander, these are words that would cause to hurt others, speech that damages people. We all struggle with this, but Jesus says, put them away. We are new people. Our old selves no longer rule. Jesus rules. Slander is the opposite to praise. And then you'll see later on, we're to praise each other. We are to sing praises, not to praise each other in a self-esteem way, but to praise in the sense and to build each other up. And it's when our speech sets out to insult and damage people's reputation that we're back to the old self. You see how the whole thing's connected, this anger, and then it goes right through to the obscene talk. It all just flows through. We are no longer our old selves, who like putting people down, who lash out at others when we're frustrated. We are new people in Christ. We are to put on and imitate Him because we are in Him. Rather than focus on ourselves, our lives are to build up others. Rather than tear people down with anger and malice, our words are to build up rather than destroy. And we'll see this in our next sermon. We are in Christ. We are called to radically, decisively kill and put away things that no longer belong to our new life. When we see believers killing and putting away these things, we see new people alive in Jesus. We see the power of Jesus' death and resurrection in our lives. God is putting His creation in order. Don't say, oh, well, it's okay, because when Jesus comes, I'll be transformed and will be the new me. No, you are alive in Him now. You have a new life now in Him. You know, don't have the ticket waiting, you know, you're on the plane. Don't say, oh, well, we all sin. No, you are a complete new person in Christ. If you are not thinking this way, you need to think this way, because this is what the gospel is about. If you think you're in Jesus because you have a ticket, look at your life and ask the question, do I really live a new life in Him? Do I really set my mind on things above in Christ? Or have I fooled myself into thinking that having Jesus is simply a get-out-of-hell ticket whilst I can still live my life for the flesh, for the old me? Has Jesus' death and resurrection really got power in my life? Or is my focus simply on my old self? What's earthly? What's here now? Am I really in Christ? When sin comes knocking at your heart, the door of your heart, and it tells you, come on, the real you needs some fulfillment. You like sexual pleasure. Watch a bit of porn. Think about how better things could be with her. You say to sin, no, that is not who I am. I am a new person in Jesus. The old self was crucified. It was nailed to the cross. You start setting your minds on things above rather than things below your belt. The power of Christ's death and resurrection changes the way you view sex. When anger knocks at your door and tells you about your rights to be angry because that person has annoyed you, has violated your laws, you tell anger that I'm a new person in Jesus. Jesus is patient and forgiving, so I will imitate Jesus. I will put on love because my life is now hidden in Him. James 1:20, the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. When slander and malice knocks on your heart, telling you to drag people down, telling you to drag that person down so that you can look like a champion, you say to the old self, no, that's not who I am. In Jesus, I am a new person with a new love towards others. I will speak words of truth to grow others. And like I said, we'll look at this next week or next sermon. Rather than words, slander and malice that destroy. If you are in Jesus, this is your life. And there's other things we can go into. We'll go into next sermon. But we need to see the reality of God's grace and love. And this is talking about a community of people. We're to grow like this. Paul clearly shows it's not just a pastor going around making this all happen. It's a community of people. That's why he mentions all those different sort of social people. Make sure it's not just for one particular group. It's for all people. We need to think this way. We need to think, who's really getting fed in my life? The old self or the new self? Serious, isn't it? The old self that's fleshly, that's pulling your rebellion against God, pulling you that Christ has put to death on the cross. Does your life spend more time trying to resurrect the old you that Christ has put to death? It's hard. Or does it spend more time putting to death the old you and taking on the new identity which you have in Jesus, taking that seriously? Does your life spend more time growing and feeding the old you, feeding sin? Or is it putting on Jesus, growing into things that Paul is mentioning? Jesus isn't fooled by a good religious show. Jesus knows your heart. Jesus knows where your real love is. Jesus says, I died for you to be transferred. Why do you keep going back to darkness? If you're feeding the old you rather than the new you, you've got to stop. Paul did say it's continually the renewing of your mind. Continue being renewed in Christ. But you've got to hear Jesus say, start growing in Him. Start seeing who you really are. Don't let sin fool you. Don't let the old self fool you. You've got to start killing the old you, because you have a spiritual identity problem. Jesus is tacked onto your life, and you need to know your life is in Him. You are in Him. Your new life in Jesus doesn't consist of a few spiritual religious moments during the day. It's every moment, not several spiritual events. It's being in Him 24/7. Being in Him 24/7 all the time. Either the new you in Jesus or the old you that Jesus died for is winning the battle. Putting off self, putting on Jesus is the key. Growing every day. Being in Jesus is not just a list of 20 moral things that I must add to my life, trying to make sure I tick all these boxes. It's not trying to pay back Jesus. Well, you died for my sins, so at least I could do is burn some porn. That's so limited to the power of the cross and the resurrection. That's just trying to be some sort of self-made mend some bad morals that we picked up, going down a list and trying to tick some boxes. It won't work. And if you're trying it now, I'm sure it's probably not working. It's knowing that you are hidden in Christ, that you are in Him, you belong to Him, and your life is hidden. This life is hidden is now in the world that you live in, but you belong to Christ. Therefore, people see who you belong to. You know who you belong to. The evidence is in the changes from the old to the new. And even that alone is a fantastic witness to our culture. To see a person putting to death the old ways and putting on new ways in Christ. Don't give Jesus the excuse that, oh, I'm praying about this and I'm waiting for God to deal with my lust and my anger and my sexual problems and etc. Or that because you're just a sinner, you are a new person in Christ who was once ruled by sin, now ruled by Jesus. And it's not easy. But that's why it says being killers of sin. Not pacifiers. Killers of sin. Because they no longer belong to us. And he says this, to put on the idea of clothing. We have a responsibility. Did you hear that? We have something to do. We have to kill something and put on something. We have to put on the clothing of Christ. Often we have plenty of time putting on the clothing of the flesh, but we seem to find no time to put on the clothing of Christ. But clothe yourselves in Christ. It's not an option. It's the way of our life in Christ now, because we're on the plane with Christ. Wonder where your life is today. Wonder is hearing this, hearing God's word speak to you, hearing Jesus speak to you. Where is your mind? Where is your speech? Where is your desires? Do you need to turn your mind and your speech around today? Do you need to turn your idea of sexual sin around? Is God's Spirit convicting you right now that you need to change? Are you taking your life in Jesus? Jesus' death and resurrection seriously? It's not a works gospel. We're not talking about a works gospel here. We're talking about life in Christ. The good news is we have a graceful, merciful God who has forgiven us and calls us not to keep pursuing things that have died on the cross, but calls us to kill and put away these old ways and put on new ways as resurrected people alive in Jesus. And we'll look at that next week. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you that our sins are forgiven in you. Father, but we sometimes just don't take it seriously. We sometimes take your death and resurrection light, like we know all about it, Lord, but we think certain things are optional. We just think that it's okay to feed things when we should be feeding our lives around your word, so we can know you more. And we have our minds set so much on the things of the here and now that we just allow our old self to get taken away. Lord, help us to get the right mindset so we can know who we are in you, that you have restored us back into the kingdom life as being connected with you, united with you. And because of that, as our identity is in you, so we imitate you. So we put to death those things that are no longer part of our new nature in you. And we say to them, you no longer belong. You are not who I am in Christ. And let us put on new things. Let us know you more. Let us love you more. And Lord, let us depend solely on your grace that transforms our hearts each day. We pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.